We've been experiencing the most amazing, amazing move of the Lord. You can say we're in a new place. I believe we're a new church. I believe God has been changing us. Amen. I'm not saying that to say that the old wasn't good. The old was great. I mean, we've come out of the old. Most of us have... No, I can't say most of us anymore. Many of us came out of the old. It was fantastic. But God is doing something new, and we're a new people. Amen. I'm not the same. I'm not the same as I was 3 months ago, let alone 18 months ago, let alone 5 years ago. I'm not. God is busy moving in our church and moving in our lives. He's moving in your life, church. And there's been a hunger expressed in the worship, in the people's lives, in the church, like I don't think I've ever seen. Mark commented about it last week. He said, I've never seen a people, a church. He goes to different churches. He said, but you guys are hungry. You want God. We want God. Do you want God? Amen. Amen. We want revival. I spoke last weekend. I said, what comes first is revival, and then comes restoration. And before I'm done with this message, I'm going to share the scripture that I was going to share last Sunday night. And I put it on the blog, the website, so go and read it. But the Lord is bringing revival. I believe we are in revival. And so as I started preparing, I thought, well, I'm going to pray. Now we've had quite a bit of this stuff. I must prepare something else. And I felt the Lord leading me back to it. And I'm sorry I don't have something back there today, but today's message is, there's more. Who feels like there's more? Last weekend was not the end of it. It was great, but it wasn't enough. We need more. We want more. We still have to move into the victory. We still have to move into the power. We still have to move into the fire of God. We've tasted it. We've scratched the surface, but there's more. The bucket has got one drop in it. We need the bucket to fill up. Who can agree with me? Amen. Who wants more? Yes. We don't only want the Lord here. We want Him everywhere. Wherever we go, we pray that the power and the presence and the glory of the Lord will fall, and that we'll experience His anointing, that we'll experience His shalom, His peace. That's what we want. Isn't that what you want, church? So I want to tell you this morning, there's more. But what needs to happen is we can't get cold. We can't go and sit down and say, well, I've experienced it now. Sure, it was great. I've had enough. It's time to rest. It's time to go on holiday. I praise the Lord, in a few weeks' time, we're going to go away. I'm looking forward to it. Not because I'm tired of you, but it's just because I'm tired. But I want to tell you, there's more. There's more. It can't be like I said last week. You go on holiday, you enjoy your holiday, it's fantastic. But 2 weeks after you're home, you've forgotten your holiday. You're back into the rut. We got to move, and we got to keep moving, and keep moving, and keep moving, because God has got more. Do you think we can ever out-experience what God's got for us? Never! Never! There's always some more. This scripture came to mind, Luke 10, verse 9 to 13. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who knocks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. It says, keep on, keep on, keep on. When the Lord repeats Himself three times, you must know He's speaking. He wants you to sit up and take notice. Why do you think He repeats Himself? Because it's fun. No. Because He wants to nag you. No, He wants you to sit up and take notice. We must keep on pressing in. Keep on pressing in. Keep on wanting more and more. Don't say, oh, come, full now, Lord, I've had enough. No! Hallelujah. We want more. Psalm 42, verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. At the thundering sound of your waterfalls, all your breakers, your waves have rolled over me. We need to want to go deeper. Deep calls to deep. There was a picture. Emil put it up now. We were singing about the river that flows from the throne. He put up, it looked like a golden river. It was beautiful. Mooi gedoen, Emil. I'm sure you did it on purpose. Yeah, did you? Oh, see, exactly. Even that, even sitting behind that board, takes an anointing. We noticed it this morning. Amen. Sometimes it can be let me tell you, if there's a thankless job, it's that one. That one and that one. God has got more for us. deep calls to deep. God is calling you this morning. He says, do you want to go deep with me? You see, we read about the river, and there's that scripture that says, and I stepped in and I was ankle deep. And then I went in and I was waist deep. And then I went in until it came up. Then I had to swim. God wants us there. He wants us in the deep end. He doesn't want us. You know what? Playing in the shallows is for children. It is. It's for those who drink milk. They just go, man, do you want to carry on playing in the shallows your whole life? No. You want to go, come on. I didn't hear an amen there. Or a yes, I want to play. No, I don't want to play in the shallows for the rest of my life. I want to go deep. I want to go deep. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's no going back, church. Do you want to go back to where we were? I'm glad you're shaking your head. That's the right answer. Luke 9 verse 62 says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's those that put themselves to service. I want to tell you, no one who experienced the fire and the anointing and the grace and God's glory that we've been experiencing over the past number of weeks can turn back and say, ugh, I'm tired of that stuff now. If you do, you're just dumb. At least I got you to smile. Let me tell you, it wouldn't be smart. No one turning back from what God is doing here, that's my glasses, is doing here, is worthy. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? No, it's still turning back. But it's the truth. God wants to give us more. Well, how would you want to go back? Who wants to go back? Can I have a show of hands, please? No, we don't want to go back. So I've got a message this morning I've got to preach. I've already preached the message. I've got a couple of points. Number one is the first one is the glory must not fade. I just felt it in my heart. I felt it that there's almost an attitude. I'm not saying people in the church have got a bad attitude. It's just something we've been programmed into. We have these conferences. And then we go back to the old mundane, same old, same old. God touches our lives. We're excited. We're on fire. But by next week, this alles weg. Now we're struggling through the struggles of life again. Come on, church. God wants us to go forward. He wants us to live in the continual presence of His glory, of His anointing, of His power, of His grace. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is there liberty in your life? Is there liberty in this church this morning? You know what? If there really was, you guys would be jumping from your seats. I'm telling you, we need some liberty in this house. I must tell you, Mark picked up this pulpit the other day. So I'm waiting for it to come off. Is there liberty? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We are being transformed into the image of Christ from... not from glory to ice cold beer or to lukewarm. No, we're being transformed from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Who received the fire last week? Can I see a show of hands? Did you receive? You received the Spirit last week. You can't go back. He's in you. That same glory planted in you last week is still there. I trust that you've been putting some wood on the fire and... so that it can grow and become more. You don't want it to cool down and become white ash. It's like new firelighters, briquettes you buy a briar. You know, they burn and they catch, and they're hot, hot, hot. The next thing is just white ash and it's cold. We don't want to be like that. Ons wil kan braai elke dag in die gees. Are you with me? I'm trying to paint a picture. Yes, we've got work to do. You can't do it on a cold fire. Have you ever tried to braai on a cold fire? What happens? The meat gets cold. You stand there. You eat 3 hours later and it's still not cooked and it's not lekker. We want to braai while the fire is hot. Who can I so say, Pastor? How can you compare the things of God to a braai? I'm telling you, the fire needs to stay burning. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Moses covered the fading glory. That's why he wore the veil. I said this already. Under the new covenant, the glory does not fade. We go from glory to glory. It speaks of a continued hunger and thirst for continued glory. Are you getting this, church? We need to go from glory to glory. The glory must shine forth from here. It must shine forth where there's darkness and the light comes. The darkness is dispelled. The glory goes out of this church. At 11 o'clock, the glory leaves because we leave. But it needs to go wherever we go. And wherever we go, the darkness must go. It must go. It must. I stand against in the name of Jesus darkness in this house. The Lord rebuke you. Get out of here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The darkness must flee. I'm speaking prophetically. Sometimes darkness tries to come into the light. It cannot. We are in the light. So we need to keep the glory from fading. Secondly, we need to not limit the glory. If God is moving in our midst, if He's bringing revival, if He's bringing restoration, we don't want to limit what He does. Some people were shocked 3 weeks ago. People over there towards the back, they were touched by the when the glory fell. Some people started to laugh. Other people were crying. People were shocked. What's this? Why are they laughing? Well, I got the answer for you. In the Word of God, I can't remember the scripture right now, but in Psalms it says, in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you experience the fullness of joy, let me tell you, you're going to laugh from your innermost being. Who's ever experienced the fullness of joy to that extent? You must desire that. God will give it to you. Also, Psalm 51. What touches the heart of the Lord? A broken and contrite heart. When we start crying in the Lord's presence, it touches Him. That's what tends to happen when the glory falls. People cry, they laugh, they shake, they shiver. Doesn't matter. Forget what happens in people's lives. It's going to happen. Okay? It's God's glory falling. You and I are different. We're going to respond in different ways. But what we can't say is, Lord, stop it. I'm scared of it. I don't want it. We're going to say, I want more of it, Lord. Help me to come to an acceptance of what You're going to do. Are you with me, church? Because let me tell you, when the glory truly breaks out, things are going to happen. Yes, there'll be flesh manifestations, but God is greater. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. People over the years, churches over the years, have held back the glory of God because they're scared it's going to get out of hand. Lord, come and get out of hand in this place, please. Father, we need some life. We need the light. Are you with me? Yes, we've got to be awake. Yes, we've got to use the gift of the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives us. We've got to be able to tell, yes, there will be wheat that grows up and there will be tares that grow up. And we need to learn to distinguish between the tares and the wheat. But Jesus said they're going to be there together. So what? So what? You need to experience God's presence. Are you with me? Amen. Those are not in my notes. I'm just preaching as the Lord's leading me right now. So if you're a bit afraid of what's going to, please don't hold back. I'm begging you. I'm appealing to you with all of my heart, with everything in me. Don't stop the Holy Spirit from doing what He wants to do in this church. Because if we're going to experience it, then we can't put on the brakes. We've got to just trust God. Yo, I think I may be ruffling some feathers here this morning. I don't eshiki. I'm not willing to stay where I was. Amen. And if you go, well, you can come and speak to me afterwards, it's fine. I know that we've got to be careful. I know we don't want it to get out of me. I know we don't want the enemy to come plant some seeds and stuff that's heresy and stuff that's rubbish comes. We don't want that. Amen? But we've got to trust God. Hallelujah. Don't limit the glory. Tommy Tenney, preaching at Brownsville, where they had a big revival, said this, God has to dial back His visitation to the level of our expectation. Let me say that again. God has to dial back His visitation to the level of our expectation. Shall I say it a third time? God has to dial back His visitation to the level of our expectation. What do you expect from God? What are we willing to expect of God? Mark said it last week. He says, the problem with us is we know who we are. We've got God's anointing. But we're trying to deal with all of our problems and our issues and our walk with the Lord from where we are. But where we really are in the flesh, okay? But where we really are I wish I had something tall I could sit on. Yeah, I'm not going to sit on this pulpit because it's going to collapse. But we are seated with Christ. Let's pretend this is heaven. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I need to deal with all the issues in my life from my position here in heavenly places, not my position down here on the floor. Are you with me? Hallelujah. God is calling us to a place of victory. He's calling us to a place of His power, His glory, His presence, all of the time. But if we're going to hold back, if we're going to limit God, we will never experience His fullness. We'll go back. We'll ride the wave of this wave, and it's going to crash onto the beach, and it's going to be gone, and we're going to have to wait for the next wave. Have you seen the surfers waiting out for the wave? The waves come in sets. I learned that. I bought a bodyboard in our last holiday. It's the first time in my life I did it. And I bought myself some flippers, and I can go out. I still got to figure out how to use the thing properly. It's kind of scary when you get out to the big waves, okay? But I learned a lesson. It's hard work to get out to the where the waves are going to break. And then you can't just swim and catch any wave. You've got to catch the right wave, okay? I still got to learn how to do that. But if you catch a wave, whew, it's so lekker. But the next thing you're up front here, like about just before the final waves are breaking. You've got to turn around, you've got to get back out there. That's harder work. I would much rather stay on the wave. Keep catching the wave. Keep catching the wave. Keep catching the wave. When that wave's about to be finished, I'll go and climb onto the next wave. Why must I wait for the next lot of waves? Are you with me this morning? We want to ride this wave of glory. And if the Lord starts to move in a new way, we catch that wave of glory. And we just stay on the wave. And stay on the wave. I saw on TV in the week, how's it done or what happened next? There's a guy on a surfboard behind a big ship. And you know the ship makes a wake. And those wakes are like waves. He rode a wave for 10 kilometers, a wave that the ship created. That's what we must do. I'm tired of crashing and burning onto the beach. Go and lie on my, oh Lord, I'm tired. I need to lie on my towel for a bit and get sunburned. No! I want to be in the deep water. Are you with me? Are you catching what I'm trying to say this morning? God wants us to go forward. You know what? I'm preaching away from my notes so long that my laptop, my notebook is now locked me out. His glory. His glory. He can do anything. I want to ask you some questions this morning. How far do I want to go with God? I have to ask myself that question. You have to ask yourself that question. How deep am I willing to go? How important is this to me? How important is it to you, church? Am I willing to make a sacrifice to go deeper? Am I willing to pray more? Even to fast? I don't like fasting. Am I willing to spend longer in the church if His glory is lingering? Last week we left here at 12, past 12. Friday night we left here at past 11. Sunday night we left here at past 8. Joch, ons het kerk gehou last week. But are you better for it? Amen. So if God's glory has to come and visit us here, and holy chaos erupts in this church, and we are laying here at this altar and we wish, and I can see it happening. And people are getting healed and they're laughing and they're speaking in tongues and people are getting delivered and people are screaming. And are we willing to accept that? Are we willing to take our watches off and say, well, Lord, I'm here. It's 2 o'clock. I'm hungry. But your presence is here. If you don't go from this place, I'm not going to go from here. That's what Moses said. Unless you go with us, we don't want to go from here. Ek sit vas, Here. Ek bly hier so by jou. In u teenwoordigheid. Are we willing to make those kind of sacrifices? What if the Lord said, I'm going to put you up on Sivrat Street. It's time for you to move up onto Sivrat Street. I want you to go and walk in amongst the people and pray for them. Is that too much to ask? I got a bit less of a response there. God's testing our hearts. He's saying there's lots of cheese here. Lots of space. I'm going to bring people in. Are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to go beyond that which is just nice for you? And are you willing to enter into my glory realm where you might be worked right down to the bone, but you will see my power and my presence manifest everywhere you go. Who wants that? Yeah, you need to think carefully before you put up your hand. Are we that hungry? Are you willing to attend the evening service if you know that God is here? When you say it's too cold tonight, it's too far tonight, I'm not well enough tonight. Yes, it's Shirley. She came and ministered this morning. I said to her, why are you in church? Faithfulness. Hunger for God. Hunger for His presence. I'm not trying to make you out to be big, Shirley. I'm just saying it's an attitude of heart. You'll clap me if I say it, but we've got to make... I'm going to say it in any case. Every Wednesday, well, almost every Wednesday for going on 2 years, Conrad has given up his day to come and work in the church. God touched him. God's working. Sorry, Conrad, I know. But you know what? What we do in silent, the Lord rewards openly. So you didn't walk around and say, I said it. And I apologize if I've been out of line. Are you willing to give your time to the Lord? Amen? Are you catching this? It's not just about church services. It goes way beyond. It impacts every moment of your and my life. Amen. There came a time when I had to make a decision. Am I going to carry on earning my mega salary from the big corporate I was working for? Or am I going to trust God with my finances? I'd been trusting Him with my finances. I was enjoying it. So coming to work full-time in the church took a big decision. The Lord waited for me until I was ready. But there comes a time when you've got to say, okay, today's the day I make that decision. God is asking us today, how hungry are we willing to be? He's also asking if we're willing to be obedient. Are you willing to be obedient? When He speaks to you, are you willing to say, yes, Lord? We need a Damascus Road encounter. We need to be like Paul. Paul encountered God. He encountered Jesus. He was on his own plane, his own religious ways, his own ways. It was all about Paul, all about Paul's beliefs. He believed he was earning God. Did you hear that? He believed he was earning God's favor. God touched him, and he was a changed man. And all of a sudden, it became about, God, what do you want me to do? God, if it takes that, I will give up my life for you. And he went wherever God sent him. He traveled that whole area. He went from one town, one city to the next. He endured beatings. One time he was stoned. He was dead. God raised him up from the dead. He went and the Lord allowed him to have a vision into heaven. Nothing was too much for him. Didn't say, okay, I'm great Paul. He saw a picture of heaven. He said, Lord, I humble myself. I will serve you with all my heart. No matter what you want, and eventually I will lay down my life. I'm being poured out for you, Lord Jesus. Are you willing to be poured out for Him? We need a Damascus Road experience. I believe God has brought us here. We need to realize God has got a greater plan for us. Amen. People have been sitting here for years. God's got a greater plan for you. He's got a greater plan for me. He wants to bring us to our vision. Church, we're a church of irresistible influence. I think I need to spend some time revisiting our vision. I won't do so now. He wants us to bring us to a place where this entire city is on fire because of the fire that He started, yeah, in your heart and in my heart. Who believes it can happen? I believe it can happen. I want to ask you this. Are you the same person you were 6 months ago? I'm not. Where are you going to be in 6 months' time? Then we need to live consecrated lives. If we're going to experience a new level of anointing, a new level of God's glory, we need to have consecrated lives. Sorry. We need to have consecrated lives. I'll read your scripture. Leviticus 14, verse 28. And the priest shall put some of that oil that is on his hand, on the lobe of his right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, in the place where the blood of the guilt offering was put. See, they also would put the oil here, and they would put the blood. We need the anointing, we need the blood. The ear, what I hear, sometimes, I was speaking to you early on, sometimes strange things are going to happen. Sometimes the Lord will tell us to do strange things. Think of Moses and Aaron. God told them, back up from this lovely oasis where you're at. It's got plenty of water. Take your 600,000 men and their wives and their children and their livestock and go out into the desert. Strange, wasn't it? Go and speak to the rock and water will come out. Lift your rod out over the sea and see what I do. Strange things. Sometimes, are we willing to listen to him? No, Lord, that's a bit too crazy for me. It's a bit too crazy for me. Amen. We've got to start saying, I will be obedient. But we also need to watch what we hear. It can't just be his anointing. It's got to be his blood covering. It's got to, what am I listening to? Oh, that skinner is so good. Somebody was praying in the back there. They say that those fires were lit by arsonists. Ooh, I'll listen to that. Ooh, those. No. No, you listen to his word. You listen to God. You do what God tells you to do. What about the thumb? The hand. The hand is what we love with. The hand is what we work with. Often it's really our source of income, isn't it? Because we use our hands to do. We were taught when we worked in children's church, you never smack a child with your hand. Because the hand is what you love with. You can use a Betty Bum Beater, a wooden spoon, whatever, but you never use your hand. You love with the hand. If you think about your dog, if your dog gets too used to you doing this, what does he do? Cowers. We love with our hands. Hands represent service. We need to put our hands to work in the kingdom of God. We need to dedicate these hands to the Lord. They have to have the anointing, the oil upon them. They've also got to have the blood on them. Is there blood on your hands? Is it the blood of Christ? Is it the blood of those that you haven't told about Jesus? Is there blood on your hands? Is it the blood of Christ? Or is it because you've been using these hands to steal, to rob, to beat, to hurt, to harm? What are we going to do with our hands? We need consecrated hands. And finally, feet. The toes take us wherever we go. Wherever we go. Lord, where you tell me to go, I will go. If you say go left, I go left. If you say go right, I go right. If you say go forward, I go forward. Every place on which my foot shall tread, you've given to me. Amen. Consecrated and anointed feet. But we need the blood over our feet too, because we're very quick to rush into trouble. Me too. Very quick to walk into an argument. We're very quick. What did he say? Let me go and sort him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Amen. We need consecrated ears. I should say consecrated lips while I'm at it as well. We'll just say it represents the entire head. Okay? Consecrated hands, consecrated feet. What you say, I will do. What you call me to do, what you say, I will hear and obey. Sorry, what you call me to do, I will do. Where you tell me to go, I will go. Amen. God is going to use us. He needs that. He needs that. And hands are also a form of worship. God is bringing this church. He's been bringing us to a new form of worship. We're crying out to the Lord. There's going to come, there's more, Josh. I'm telling you now, you must be aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Church, we're going to worship God in a greater way. John 4:23. In those days, God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a new level of worship. He's restoring the tabernacle, or the temple, what was it? The tabernacle of David. It was a tent. Okay, his son built the temple. All right, his tabernacle of David. It was different from the tabernacle in the desert. Okay, that was the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of David was a tabernacle of worship. We've got to have hearts of worship. It's a lifestyle of worship. It's not just about what we sing here. But I'm going to tell you, church, if we open our hearts and our minds, if we say, Lord Jesus, if we start calling out him, if we show that hunger, if we start showing that desire, we will find that we'll break out in this church and in this place a form and a level of worship like we've never experienced. I've got no idea what it is because I haven't experienced it myself. Do you want it? Amen. Do you want it? I want to speak to you at the backyard. I don't want to cause any offense. It's time to stop hiding away. It's time to stop hiding away at the backyard. Become part of what God's doing. And yes, there's blessed. And I know some people like to be close to the back. Some people get claustrophobic. But if you want to go deeper, come forward, come forward, come forward, come forward. Kneel at the altar. That's what I'm calling you to. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. The anointing is greatest. The fire is hottest right by the flames. Are you with me? And don't think that I'm saying that I'm the flame. I'm not. It's the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is, come, get involved, get involved. Please don't take offense from at the back there. I'm just saying, it's cold at the back there. See, it is warm here before. Come forward to this empty rows here. Just come, just come, just come. So that is my message for this morning. And then I just want to briefly share with you the scripture that the Lord gave me last week. God's promise to Christian Heritage. Can I carry on, or have you had enough? Something happened last week. There's an anointing. And I'm not copying Mark. He felt the fire. I just feel the anointing. It's a weight. It's a weight of the Lord's glory. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 30. I want to encourage you to go to the church website. Just go and search. Go onto Google and search Christian Heritage Church, Krugersdorp. If you search Christian Heritage Church, you're going to find a bunch of them overseas. You're going to find one where the pastor resigned. I haven't resigned. Okay? It's not my plan to do that unless the Lord tells me to do that. Okay. God's promise to Christian Heritage. Have you got your Bibles here? Ezekiel 36. I'm going to try and go quickly. This is phenomenal, church. And you'll be able to identify that God has already started doing this stuff. Verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. What did the Lord say to us this day? The new covenant, I will write my word on your hearts and in your minds. You will walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Who knows that God gave us this church? Some 30 or 40 years ago, he said, here is the place where I choose to put my name. He's given us, we shall dwell in the land of our fathers. It's all about relationship. He says, I will, I will, I will. And then he says, you will, you will, you will. God is saying, I want a relationship with you. Think of the prophetic word that went out this morning. A similar one went out last week. I want to bless you. I want you. God wants relationship with us. And then in verse 29, it says, and I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine on you. The first thing is he's going to cleanse us. Purifies. Revival is when sin gets wiped off. We get a new and a fresh start. And then he says, I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine on you. And I went and researched grain. And I was hoping grain was food because I thought he's going to summon people and make sure there's no more lack of people yet. But the grain speaks about God's provision. God's financial blessing, God's provision for his people. God says, I will give you what you want. We've been saying we're hungry. God says, I'll feed you. Are you with me? It's both physical and spiritual. All right. If we want more, he will give us more. Do you want more, church? Amen. Amen. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I cut off the spirit of poverty. I cover the spirit of poverty that people in this church are struggling with. I break it in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke that thing. But at the same time as I do it in the natural, I do it in the spiritual. Lord, we've been struggling. We've got spiritual poverty. Lord, I see it. I see it. That's why we've been battling. I cut it off right now in Jesus' name. I lose spiritual provision, spiritual blessing, spiritual prosperity over this building, over this people, over this congregation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 30, and I will make the fruit of the tree increase. The fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. The fruit of this ministry, we will become fruitful once again. You can take it in the natural as well, church. He will bless you. But fruit trees and grain fields take workers. Who knows that no farm field plows itself. Who knows that seeds can fall and germinate, but if you want a crop, you need to plant the seeds. Who knows that fruit trees need to be pruned? They need to be watered. Insect spray needs to be sprayed on. Otherwise, you get rot fruit. Amen? He's calling us to be workers in his harvest field. I spoke about being workers. Remember your hands. And then we need to be working in the field. It doesn't help that we've got a whole lot of workers and they're doing no work. We've been calling out week after week after week after week. We need help, church. We need help. We can't do this in our own strength. I can tell you another need. We need somebody to help us. I know that Corinne has been helping a lot, but she's overloaded with the Good Shepherd ministry. I need somebody to take, to run with it. We need to hand those food packets out. It might take somebody with a car to go to people's homes. We need to take people downstairs and get them dressed. Corinne's been doing a phenomenal job, but she's working on the platform here. She's singing. She's praising and worshiping the Lord. She's in the children's church. She's all over the place. Holiday Bible school, Bible club. We burn people out like that. We need to rise up and say, if you need help, I'll help. Amen. Amen. I don't want to just hear Benji saying amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Ezekiel 36, verse 33 to 36. Thus says the Lord God, on that day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate and has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. Church, I want to tell you this. This place that once prospered, that once was blessed, you couldn't get in here. They sat outside the windows. They sat there. They sat up there. God says, I will restore it. People have ridden past here. People have said, that church, it was once a great church in the town. But look at them now. But look at them now. I can tell you it's already happening. I can tell you it's already. I'm, as the pastor, as I look out over this congregation, I can see God is bringing people back in here. You know, there's some of you that have come back. You were here once before. God has replanted you here. There's a reason for it. God has brought you back because He wants you to be part of His harvest for this day. And let me tell you, we've got the promises that the latter glory will be greater than the former. Are you with me? I've come down here because there's a few more things I want to say. What I'm saying is God is, the people that have driven past here and said, ach, look at them. People come in here, they say, it's a beautiful building. Mark, again, we had Sean who lived across the road, and shame, my heart goes out to Sean and his family. His dad passed away, Douglas, that was part of this church, passed away on Sunday last week. As we left the church, I drove past and saw him. I went and prayed for him. I didn't realize how sick he was. He died that night. But there were people that came into the church for the memorial, and they came and had a look, and they said, it's such a beautiful church. It's not a reason. There's a reason why this church has been refurbished and made ready. There's a reason why those chairs are ready. There's a reason why God is talking to our hearts. It's time you started talking to people, inviting them to church. Church, are you with me? God is bringing about change. We will be fruitful, and we are fruitful once again. Let's start confessing it. Let's stop talking about what we once were and start talking about what we are and what we're going to be. Let's speak to our future. We've got a future and a hope. Amen. Oh, the fruit of this ministry will be great. The fruit trees and the grain fields will be full of workers. The Lord said, I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. First comes revival, a new heart, the new spirit, the heart of stone out, the heart of flesh in, cleansing from sin, and the Spirit of God. Then second comes revival, cities inhabited, the waste places rebuilt, plenty of grain and fruit to harvest. We will be like the Garden of Eden. The Garden of, who doesn't want to be in the Garden of Eden? Amen. That's the Lord's blessing. And finally, verse 37, and we're having a leadership team meeting tomorrow night. Please pray with us. The Lord needs to give us vision, guidance, and direction. Our leadership meetings are different. We handle the business, but we want to be spiritual. I ask the leaders to serve you today. We need to have a servant heart. If we miss it, come and tell me. We need to have a servant heart. I trust you feeling our servant heart. I trust you sense our heart of love. Are you? I hope you do. If you don't, come talk to me. But we need to ask the Lord to add to this flock. Verse 37, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let, I will allow the house of Israel to seek me, to do for them, to increase their people like a flock. God says, I will allow them to ask. Lord, we pray that you will increase our people like a flock. Like a flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. Do you know when it was feast time, Jerusalem was just overflowing with lambs and flocks for the sacrifices. So shall the waste cities. This place may once have been a waste city. I can tell you now, it's no longer a waste city. That curse is broken. It will be filled with flocks of people. They will know that I am the Lord. God is going to increase us like a flock, but we must ask Him to do this for us. No man can take credit. I'm not going to carry on because I've preached too long. Mark said, he gave the scripture, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is written upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the whole earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. I believe our day has come. The Lord is arisen over us, and His glory shall be seen upon you and in us." Philippians 1, verse 6, that He says, He who has begun the good work will complete it. Philippians carries on to saying, forgetting what is behind, we need to leave that which God has already done behind us, even the good stuff, and we need to strive forward because He's got more. There's more. That's the title of this message, there's more. And then I woke up this morning having had a dream, and what was in my mind was Matthew 10, and I know God was speaking to us. I've been praying. I've said, "Lord, I don't have dreams and visions. Will you please give me dreams and visions?" And this morning it was loud in my mind, Matthew 10, Matthew 10, Matthew 10. I got up and I read it. I'm just going to read you three verses. Matthew 10, verse 1. When He had called His 12 disciples to them, He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." I believe the Lord is saying that to us, church. That is what this is all about. That is what this new move of the Spirit is about. That is what the glory is about. That is what the anointing is about. That is what the fire is about. He gave them power. We have been given power. Say that. We have been given power. Say it, power. Power. Say it loud, power. Power. Again, power. Authority. Authority! Oh, come on. Authority. Authority! That's what the Lord has given you, church. We will heal the sick. We will cast out unclean spirits. We will see the deaf ears open. We will see the blind seeing. We will see the dead rising. We will teach God's word. We will go out forth from this place. There's been prophecies over and over. You will come and you will go. The word, you will come and get full. You will go out. You will go out. You will go out. The blessing is not just for you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you received what God has given you this morning? Let's stand together. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to do an altar call. I trust you've heard what the Lord has said to you this morning. The message this morning is for those that will be obedient, that will be willing to go, that will be obedient, that will be hungry, that will say, "Lord, I want more." Those that will be obedient and lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Those obedient will see the dead rise. Those obedient will see demons flee. Even right now, the Lord rebuke every demon in this house. We bind them, we bind their power. We speak in the authority that I've just confessed, and we command you, go in Jesus' name. Just get out in Jesus' name. You've got no authority here. You don't belong here. There's no place for you here or in any of these people. So be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we pray this morning over this congregation. I pray. I bring each one to you this morning. If you want more of the Lord, if you know that there's more for you, just lift up your hand. If you know that there's more for you, just lift up your hand. If you want to be part of that more, just lift up your hand. Lord, I pray for every person here, particularly those that have lifted their hands. We want the more. We want more fire. We want more anointing. We want your power. We need to go. We need to make a difference. We need to be the church of irresistible influence. We need to carry your glory on this earth. We need to walk in the anointing that you've given us. It's not just for us. May it flow. May it flow. May it flow. Release it, Lord, over this church. Let us never lose the fire. There's more. There's more. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Receive that more. Lord, I speak the more out over this congregation. Let them receive it this morning in Jesus' name. Let us not allow the anointing to cool down. Let us not not grow cold. Let us not limit you. Lord God, we pray that we will go beyond that which we can see. We will go beyond that which we can dream. We will go beyond that which we can say. Lord, we thank you that we are going beyond. There's a new day. We're a new people. We declare it in Jesus' name. And I declare right now that you go with them all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. Are you going to run? Are you willing to run? Amen.